right, thank you. I do love you. My wife and I do very dearly. Okay, you may be seated. Please be seated. They're in the order of service that we get for chapel to every day. Shut up. There wasn't a thing in there to have anybody introduce me, but I just wanted to hear what Brother Bailey was going to say. And so I'll introduce you tomorrow. I'll be very glad to. But sincerely, it is a lot of fun to have this opportunity to get to speak during Spirit Week and to get to interact with you all on a more casual level during Spirit Week, and I sure do love it. I don't know, this is probably our 10th or 11th year doing this. I probably should go back and look and see. But it was started by Brother Bob Hooker, who is now pastoring in Memphis, Tennessee. When Brother Hooker was here, he started Spirit Week, and I kind of picked the torch up from him when he went to pastor, and it's a privilege to get to carry that on, and it's to get to work with you. I feel like we have some of the choicest young people in all the world sitting in this room today, and the potential that sits before me this morning is unparalleled anywhere else. And the privilege and opportunity to get to speak to a group of Christian servants who have the opportunity to literally turn this world upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ is humbling, and I appreciate the opportunity to do so. Open your Bibles this morning, please, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. I really was torn, to be honest with you, between a couple of different sermons to preach today. I only have four, so... No, I'm just kidding. I have six. But I was torn between a couple of different topics and what to preach, and it's the opening day of Spirit Week, and so I'll probably be a little bit more lighthearted today than if I was preaching later in the week, but I want to give you something that I think will help you. And, you know, when I go to a service, whether it's a chapel service, and I understand, you know, you're at Hiles Anderson College, and in an average week, you probably get preached to somewhere around 8 or 10, 12 times between chapel services and your classes that your teacher thinks it's preaching instead of English or whatever, and so you get preached to a lot, and then you go on your bus and you get preached to, and then you go to your division meeting and you get preached to, and you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and junior church and Sunday school and night bus, and then you go on a date and you get preached to, and so it's just, you know, I understand. Wait till you get married. Right, Brother Pellini? Then the preaching gets intensified tenfold for sure. Just my wife's listening to this. I'm just kidding, babe. But I understand. But I want to give you a thought today that I think will help you and a challenge to you, okay? And so when I go to a church service or a chapel service, I always try to think, I try to make some kind of a decision in every service I make. Now, maybe the preacher's up there and he's preaching, you know, you shouldn't drink alcohol. Well, I don't have to give up alcohol because I did that last week. But you know, I can decide that I'm never going to drink it. And, you know, I try to make a decision of some kind in every service. And so I would encourage you to consider that as we get into the sermon today and then decide what the Lord would have you to do as we come down to the end. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. I love Paul in the Bible. He is a unique character. You know, he had an interesting past, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's look at Philippians chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And now verses 13 and 14 are ones that I want to focus on for a few minutes this morning. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't fully understood it yet. I haven't reached the end line yet. I haven't reached the finish line yet. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, that great prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have opportunities in our lives to do anything we want to do. We can be millionaires if we work hard enough. We can be businessmen or women. We can be tech people. We can be politicians. We can be, I mean, when you start out, and especially somebody at your age, you're 17, 18, 19 years old, really the entire future, the whole landscape of your future is completely in your control. You could be or do just about anything you want to do. But Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize, the big trophy, the first place finish, the grand prize of the high calling of God. That one thing in my life that God has called me to do, that one thing in my life that God has called me to be, that's the prize. That's the finish line. And everything I do is focused on getting to that finish line and doing what it is that God wants me to do with my life. Now, Paul's just like you and me. He's a little older than us when he wrote this. Well, maybe not older than me, but older than you. When he wrote this, and so he's lived a little bit by the time he gets to this point in his life. And he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Every single one of us have a past. We all do. And at this point in our lives, there's absolutely nothing we can do to control or change or adjust the past. Because it's the past. What we did yesterday or what we did last month or last year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, there's nothing we can change about that. What we did, what we said, how we acted, we can't control or change what we've done in the past. We can't control or change what has happened to us in the past. Many of us or many of you sitting in this room, we have pasts that we don't like to think about, that we don't like to talk about because it hurts. It's painful. It's difficult to even think about what some of you in this room have been through in your lives that has brought you to where you are today sitting at Hiles Anderson College. And we all have things in our past that we don't like to think about. Hurts, pains. Maybe it was a physical abuse or an emotional abuse or a sexual abuse. Whatever it is in your life, whatever that thing is in your past, you can't do anything about it today. All we can do is to put it in its proper place in our life and then reach forth unto those things which are before. Somebody told me recently, I was in a meeting, kind of like a meeting, and somebody was assessing my ability to lead and to be a leader here at the college and in my life, and somebody told me that, you know, there are things in my past that I haven't dealt with and coped with and gotten rid of, and yeah, I got some crazy stuff in my past, as probably many of you do too, and I think, you know, if we ever sat down and talked about it, you'd be surprised how similar some of our pasts might be. You know, I'll be honest with you, I don't think about my past every day. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and there were issues in my life growing up, and I was saved as a 10-year-old boy and in and out of church throughout that time until I got into junior high, and then I moved and started getting more involved in church. But there was a lot of things that happened in my life from, you know, the time I got saved until I'm standing here 30 years later as a 40-year-old man. And a lot of those things in my past, while I don't like to dwell on them and I don't like to think about them, the fact is that they're there. And so what I like to do is think, you know, God allowed me to go through that for a reason. And so I take those things that happened in my past and I put them in the proper place in my life, but I don't let them dictate what I'm going to do in the future. And so some of you sit in this room today and you're so hung up on that thing that happened in your past. Maybe it was a sin that you committed. Maybe it was something that you did. Maybe it was someplace that you went, or something that you took or drank or did or looked at or some relationship that you had, and you got so hung up on it that you sit here and you think, how in the world could God possibly use me? And you're just trying to get over here to the future, but you're so hung up back there in the past. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Now think about Paul's past for a minute. Paul was a Roman. He was a devout Jew, even though he was Roman. Paul was a killer of Christians. He participated in the stoning of Stephen. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul described himself by saying that he, with these words, he said, beyond measure persecuted the church of God. So here's a guy who did some pretty bad stuff. He did some pretty nasty stuff, and not just out in the world, but he did it to Christians. He participated in the stoning of Stephen, and he beyond measure persecuted the church of God. But then one day, he was walking down that road, and you know the story. And he was gloriously saved on that road that day, and everything in his life changed. It didn't eliminate what happened to him back here in the past. And he didn't forget about it because he talks about it later on in the book of Galatians. He didn't forget about it. He uses that. He prioritizes it and puts it in a certain compartment. And he doesn't let it dictate how he's going to get to that finish line someday. And so as I read this passage of Scripture, I think, man, Paul, what a great guy. He got saved. His whole life was changed. He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's over here. That's our future. That's what we're working towards. That's what we're studying for. That's what we're preparing for. That's what we're anxious for. That's what we can't wait to do someday, get to that spot where we receive the prize of the high calling of God on our life. That great thing that God has got for us, set aside that ministry, that place, that group of people, that nation, that church, that school classroom, that pulpit, somewhere that God has set aside for you, that we're working to getting to that place. Man, what a thought to think that a guy who killed Christians back there put all that behind him and forgot all about it to get to this point in his life where he receives that great and high calling, that prize that God has for him. That's pretty commendable. But I got to tell you, What I commend Paul for, and in this sermon today and in this story, what I think is the most amazing part is not what he came from over here. And it's not even the forgetting about what happened over here. It's not the fact that he got over here and forgot about the past and focused on the future and that prize and his desire to serve God, his desire to give God everything, and his desire to forsake his wicked ways and forsake his youthful lusts and to turn away from all that stuff that he used to do to get to this point, to that prize of the high calling of God. It's not even the fact that this is where he ends up. To me, the most commendable part of Paul's life is the space that takes place between there and there. Because that's where you and I are right now. Because in this space between our past and our future lies the present. And I got to be honest with you. I can't do anything about the past. I'm excited about the future. But the hard part of life is the present. And if I can just get through today, then I can worry about tomorrow. How many of you have been there? How many of you are there right now? If I can just survive Spirit Week and not get hung by a rope on a volleyball net, not fall through a basket when I'm climbing up on the hoop, not fall off the top of a pyramid or get crushed at the bottom of a pile. If I can just survive and I can get to tomorrow and I can get to that high calling and reach that finish line and get to that prize. And that's what I want to talk about today. The forgetting the past and prioritizing the past, many of you have done that. Many of you are in the process of that. And we can figure that out. The focusing on the future, and really that's what we're trying to get you to do here at Hiles Anderson College, is focus on what it is that God wants you to do, help you to determine God's plan for your life, and then do it, and at all costs, serve God for the rest of your life, and do what he wants you to do, where he wants you to do it. And almost everything we do here in preparation for future ministry is pointing you towards that prize. But between there and there, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens. And this is what I commend Paul for the most, is ignoring the distractions. Ignoring the distractions. Because life is going to bring a whole bunch of them. And boy, you know, we're trying to get through this life, and we're trying to walk with God, and we're trying to be a good bus captain, and we're trying to be a good Bible college student, and we're trying to be a good soul winner, and we're trying to be a good son or daughter, and we're trying to be a good husband or wife, and we're trying to be a good Christian. But all along this way, this route to the finish line, this route to the high the prize at the end of the line, is a whole bunch of distractions that come our way. Now, I could stand up here and I could tell you that you know, you shouldn't drink. Well, most of us are never going to be tempted with that. Most of you probably have never had the thought, man, I wish I could go out and have a beer. I mean, just be honest. Some of you have, but most of us in this room haven't. Most of you won't go back to your dorm room this afternoon and have to shake because you need another fix. So if I stand up here from the pulpit and I say, don't drink and don't smoke and don't do drugs and all that, you know, all these things that cross that line of being bad things that would be terrible distractions on this path of life, it'd be real easy to say, man, I got that under control. I've never been tempted to smoke marijuana. I've never been tempted to pop a needle in my arm. I've never been tempted to take pills. I've never been tempted to do that kind of thing. And not saying that I'm above that or that I'm stronger than that, because without God, I can't do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't do it myself. But that's not something that I have to deal with on a daily basis. But there are things in our lives that are not necessarily bad things that can become a distraction from getting to the finish line. I'm going to need some help. I'm gonna need some help. Give me somebody sophomore or above who works at who works someplace other than Teleperformance. All right, Nate, come on up here. Leave your Bible back there. You're not gonna need that. You don't read it anyway. Where do you work, Nate? You're a bus driver. You're making big bucks as a bus driver, right? $16.91 an hour, twice as much as I make. Stand right there for me. Nate is not, he works, he's a bus driver, he makes pretty decent money, probably most of you don't make $16.91 an hour, and he makes pretty decent money, but over here we've got a regular, average, normal guy. Let's see, do we have any regular, average, normal guys? John, come up here. Come on up here, John. This is John Christian right here. Stand right here, John. And John, you know, stand right here. Face that way. You're going that way. John is trying to get to that finish line in his life. John's at Bible college. He's a freshman. He's a little goofy, but he's a freshman. He's a good guy. Bus worker, right? You work on a bus route? What are you doing? You're fraternizing with a distraction. 89.6. He's a bus worker. Yeah. Five? Yeah. Okay. John's a pretty normal, average guy. He grew up in New Jersey, and we don't hold that against him. But he's trying to get to the finish line down there. And John's here at Bible college, and he has devotions every day, and he's reading his Bible, and he's walking with God, and he's trying to be the best Christian he can be, and he's trying to get to the end. He's trying to get to the finish line. But along that way come distractions and things that are not necessarily bad, like money, the opportunity to make a lot of money. Are you handing me that? I'll take it. Money. And so along that way, we have a distraction of money. And so, Nate, you're going to represent money. You got about $7,000 in your wallet right there, and I'll give you 1,000 points for that. But so Nate's going to be a distraction. Money's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. But we need money to pay the electric bill. We need money to support missionaries. We need money to run buses. We need money to put kids in City Baptist. We need money to pay our school bill. Money's not necessarily a bad thing. But if we're not careful, money's going to become a distraction. So Nate's going to be a distraction. And so, Nate, you're going to say, show me the money.
Show me the money!
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty good. We didn't rehearse. So one more time. All right, Nate's pretty excited about the money. Now, John, all he's trying to do is get to the finish line. He's just trying to do, now, y'all are laughing, but you might be up here next. You never know. He's just trying to get to do that prize, that high calling of God in his life. He's a Bible college student. He reads his Bible, maybe misses a day or two here and there, but he does his best. He's reading his Bible, having devotions, prayer life, bus worker, soul winning, going to class. But along the way, there's going to be distractions. John, do you have a best friend here at college? Do you have any friends here at college? Who? Caleb Oxendine, where are you? Come up here, Caleb. Oh, so sweet. Caleb, come stand over here by Nate. You're a good guy, but you're going to be a distraction. Stand over here by the money man. Caleb is wearing a Cleveland Indians shirt. I'm so very sorry, but the Cubs beat you in the World Series. I'm just saying. Who has that Cubs shirt on? Jacob, where'd he go? Does he still have it on? Let's give 1,000 more. No, I'm just kidding. We should take 1,000 points away for this. But Caleb is John's friend, and friends are a great thing. Some of my closest friends in the world are the men that I work with here at the college. And the working together and the serving together and the toiling together and the sometimes crying and bleeding together builds friendships that will last for the rest of your life. Some of you will meet people in college that will be your best friends for the rest of your life. You know, when you graduate high school, you think, oh, you're crying at graduation. I love you. You're my best friends. I'll never forget you. I remember my graduation, graduated from Christian school. There are 18 people in our graduating class. And, you know, this was a long time ago. And at graduation, we sang that song, Friends Are Friends Forever, If the Lord's the Lord of Them. You know, that's probably before your time. We thought, we're going to be best friends for the rest of our lives. We're going to be close. We're going to do things, incredible things. We're going to be best friends because we're so close right now in high school. And then we all went our separate ways, and we hardly ever talk to each other anymore. And only two of our senior class are still in the ministry today, and that's me and my wife. And you're going to face that same thing. But the people who you meet here in Bible college, who you're working with and serving with, they're going to be some of the best friends you'll ever have for the rest of your life. You're going to pastor together. He may be your assistant pastor or your youth pastor. She may be your church secretary or your wife. They could be your best friends for the rest of your life. Friends are a great thing. You serve together in the ministry. You reach a city or a town or a country or a state for Christ, and you serve together for the rest of your life. But if you're not careful, your friends can be a distraction in trying to get to that prize. Because more often than not, the friend may be the one who's trying to get you to do something that you wouldn't normally do. And so Caleb, well, I know it's Caleb, right? Yeah. Caleb, I know you wouldn't be this type of a friend, but you might be. You know, you're going to be, so what you're going to say is, you're going to say, man, just be cool, bro. Say it like you mean it.
Man, stay cool, bro.
And what do you say?
Show me the money.
And,
man, stay cool, bro.
And so John is trying to get to that finish line down there. But along the way, there's distractions that are going to try to get him to not change course, not stop serving God, but just maybe pause for a few minutes. Or maybe just try to turn just a little bit. And so when you're trying to get here, you end up over there. Distractions. John, do you have a girlfriend? No? Any of you girls want to be John's girlfriend for today? Did you raise your hand? All right, come on up here. You raise your hand. No? I need a girl who'll come up here. You don't have to be John's girlfriend, but I just need a girl. Give me a girl. Give me a freshman girl. No? All right, yeah, come on up here. Come stand over here. Don't stand by John. You're too much of a distraction. Stand over here. What's your name? This is Jessica. Jessica's a good girl. She's a nice girl. You work on a bus route. She's in Bible college. She's a good girl. And she is in love with John. If she's not, she will be by the time I'm done. Look at that big hunk of a man down there. Flex for her, John. Go ahead. Flex for her. Yeah, you. Now here's John. John's trying to get to that prize. He's trying to get to the point where he's serving God and receiving that prize of the high calling of God. But along the way come these distractions. And here it's Jessica. Jessica just says this, but I love you.
But I love you.
Oh, no, no. Say it like you mean it, Jessica. Come on.
But I love you.
There's no emotion in that, Jessica. Come on. I need more emotion. All right, here we go.
But I love you.
A little bit more than that, okay? Say it so the people on the back row can hear you. Stand right here.
But I love you.
All right, that's a little better. Now, some of you are right here, right now in your life. And you know, listen to me, you know that God's got something great for you down there. And you're in Bible college. Maybe you're a junior or a senior. Maybe you've been here for a couple of years. And you know that God's got a plan for you and you've surrendered to that and you're on your way there. But along the way comes this distraction of a pretty face. That's not a bad thing. You're going to marry one someday. I hope so anyway. Hopefully you're not going to marry, you know, an ugly face, but, you know, hopefully you're going to marry a pretty face. But along the way comes that distraction, and it's not a bad thing unless you let it be. And I got to go to work today, but well, can't you just call in because I really want to have dinner tonight, and but I love you. Or it could be the other way around. She could be telling you, I'm sorry, babe, I have to go to work today. And you're like, oh, man, just blow it off. Come on, let's go on a canoe. Let's go walk around the lake. Meeting up on Saturday for lunch. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm just saying that love is not a bad thing. Love is an absolutely wonderful thing. Dr. Cowling, how many years you've been married? 55 years, 3 months, and 8 days. 55 years. Yeah. And these two down here are more in love having been married 55 years than most newlyweds are. They are. Because they didn't let that love be a distraction from doing what they're supposed to do. And I want you to be there. I want you to be at 55 years someday. But I'm telling you this, it's going to come as you're going through life and you're trying to get from the past to the future, these distractions are going to come along the way. And maybe it's money.
Show me the money!
Maybe it's friends.
Come on, just be cool, bro.
Or maybe it's,
But I love you.
Yeah, you never know what it's going to be. How many of you guys are playing football this year? Couple of you playing football? Let me have a junior who's playing football come up here. Just one of you guys jump up, come up here. Come stand over here. Now, Daniel. Daniel's a junior. He's manned up this year, and he's going to play football. Now, I'm going to tell you, I love sports. And I told you in orientation, I make time. I watch Notre Dame football every week. This week I'm traveling with a tour group, so I'm going to have to miss them beating Michigan State this week. But I watch Notre Dame football. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm a Bears fan. They're terrible. But I love sports. And most of you in this room don't have the possibility of professional athletics. That's not a temptation for you. Maybe for you, I don't know, but it's not for me. Now, the millions of dollars, that might be, but, I'm not going to spend the rest of my life playing sports. And sports are a good thing. Sports builds teamwork. For men, it mans you up a little bit, toughens you up a little bit, and that's a good thing. It teaches you how to work together with other people to accomplish a goal. It's an incredible character-building tool. Sports is a great thing. But if you're not careful, your love of sports will keep you from getting over here to doing what it is that God wants you to do to receiving that prize. Now, what's your favorite football team? The Arizona Cardinals. You're a Cardinals fan?
Yes, sir.
All right, so you're going to say, go Cardinals!
Go Cardinals!
All right, so he's a Cardinals fan. Any other Cardinals fans in here? I know Trevor is. A few of you, a few Cardinals fans in here. And so sports isn't a bad thing, but if it becomes to where you're skipping church on Sunday night because you want to watch the ball game, that becomes a problem. If it comes to where you're not able to go to class because you love sports so much that you're playing the video game all night long, and you can't get up in time to go to class because you're playing Madden or Call of Duty or whatever else you're playing, then it becomes a distraction. And as John is trying to go through this Christian life, and he's trying to get to that prize that God has for him down there, these things are not necessarily bad. Now, if Nate was standing here saying, come on, dude, let's take some weed, let's have a drink, it'd be real easy to say, no, man, I don't want that, and ignore that. But Nate's not a necessarily bad thing. Nate just, he just loves money. And all of a sudden, it becomes a distraction, because as you're trying to get through life and you're trying to get to that prize at the other end, all of a sudden you pause here because, man, I got an opportunity to make a lot of money. I'm just going to sit out a semester. But I'm getting ready to graduate, and my job has asked me to stay on for a year and work, and I'm going to make $50,000 this year, and then I'll go to the mission field. Money's not a bad thing unless you let it distract you from getting to that prize. Your friends are not necessarily bad things. They could be great encouragements to you unless you let them distract you from getting to that prize. The love of your life. Let's hear it.
But I love you.
Oh, she's getting sarcastic now. Psh. I love you. Come on, say it like you mean it.
But I love you.
There you go. The love of your life is a wonderful thing. My wife and I serve together, and you may have met her. She works out at the front desk a couple days a week. And the opportunity that we have to serve the students of Hiles Anderson College and in turn serve the Lord together through this ministry is incredible opportunity for us to be able to do that together. And love is not a bad thing unless, you know what, we want to get married, so we're going to sit out for a year. But I promise I'll be back. I wish I had a dollar for every time I've heard that. And sports isn't necessarily a bad thing either. But if you let it become a distraction from getting you over there, then it becomes a bad thing. One more. I'm running out of time. Let me have a bus captain. You know what? No, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. Let me have a, do we have any lady bus captains, but lady spirit leaders in here? Any spirit leaders? Lady spirit weakers? Chloe, are you a spirit leader? You're not? Who's a spirit leader? All right, okay, here we go. This will work. Come on up here. Come stand up here. D9, what's your name? Lauren? Lauren, you're a spirit leader on your route or your division or what? On your division 9. And so she's a spirit leader, and so she works in a ministry, and in order stand a little closer over here. And in order to get to that position of being a spirit leader, you've got to have shown yourself to be faithful and hardworking and dedicated to your bus route and your to division and so forth. And so she is all about the ministry. And so she's going to represent the kids, the bus kids, the junior church kids, the City Baptist kids, who all say the same thing. Can I have a dollar? Right?
Can I have a dollar?
No, say it like a bus kid.
Can I have a dollar?
Okay. And so she's going to represent the ministry. What? The ministry can be a distraction? Have you ever heard, don't let your work for God interfere with your walk with God? You're in Bible college. I can't even tell you, Brother Bailey could testify, and those have been here for a long time, I can't even tell you how many Bible college students I've seen have to drop out of college because they don't pay their school bill, because they put all their money into a bus route or a City Baptist student, and the main thing stops becoming the main thing. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. The ministry is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. That's what we're here for. We're here to prepare to spend the rest of our lives in ministry, serving God, serving people, and loving both for the rest of our lives. But if you're not careful while you're in Bible college, you're going to get distracted, and you're not going to reach the line. You're not going to get the prize. You're not going to get the big trophy at the end. Ministry is a wonderful thing. But old John over here, he's just trying to get to the prize. But he's got these distractions along the way. He's got...
Show me the money!
And...
Come on, just be cool, bro.
And...
But I love you.
And
go Cardinals.
And oh no, say it like you mean it. Okay, that's a little better. And so John's trying to walk through life to get to that prize down there. And he's over here and he's in Bible college and he's studying and he's serving God and he's walking with God and he's got God who's standing there and God's trying to the Holy Spirit's trying to put scriptures in his brain and in his mind and John's going through life, but these distractions, if you're not careful, can be louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because they're all happening at the same time. And so all of these distractions, and I could bring three or four more up here, but for time's sake, I won't. They're all happening at the same time, so all of you just say your thing at the same time over and over again.
Show me the money.
Just keep
Show
over and
money.
Over again. And so John's trying to get down there to, keep going. John's trying to get down there to the finish line. And he's trying to walk with God, and God's trying to speak with him. Okay, now stop. Now, John, along this route, could you hear what I was saying? Because of the distractions. You can all be seated. And I'm telling you that, let's just get right into this. For your sake as a college student, these are not bad things. But if we let them take our focus off the main thing, good things can become bad things. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, focusing on the future, and along that route, ignoring the distractions. And I'm just going to give you a few things very quickly of how to do that, how to ignore the distractions. 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll just read these verses to you very quickly. Peter gives some very good advice. Verse 12, he says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. As John is walking through this life, trying to get to the finish line, and those distractions are along the way, he couldn't hear what the voice of God was saying because the voice of God was back here, and he was up there. And the distractions became louder than the voice of God in his heart. And the distractions became louder than the voice of the Holy Spirit in his life. But sanctify, Peter said, the Lord God in your hearts. Take God in your heart and in your life and in your soul and sanctify him. Put him in a prominent place. Set him apart from all the rest. Sanctify means to make special, to give priority, to set apart, to put in a prominent place. Sanctify. Put him in a prominent place in your life. So as you're going through life and God is going with you, you can hear the voice of God louder and stronger than those distractions that you're going to face along the way, trying to get to the prize at the end of the line. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Very quickly, I want to just give you 5 points of how to do that. 5 things. How to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And we'll be done. Number one, don't let anything in your life take priority over him. Don't let anything in your life take priority over him. These were not bad things. Sports, that's good. I love sports. Ministry, man, that's what I'm here for. But if you let your, if you take Saturday and Sunday and spend the whole time out on the ministry and no time with God, then you've taken ministry and putting it above him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. But I got to go to work and I get up late and I get up early and I go to bed late and I just don't have time because I got to make money and I got to pay my school bill and I got to give my bus kid a dollar and I just don't, and so I don't have time to read my Bible during the week. And all of a sudden, money becomes more important than God. But I love you. Don't let anything in your life take priority over him. Number two, dedicate time to spend with him every day. Every day. And I got to tell you, I live a pretty hectic life. And there are times, you know, this morning is a good example. I woke up a little late this morning, and it's Spirit Week, and I had a lot on my mind today, and I knew I was preaching in chapel today, and I spent some time in prayer this morning at my house before I left. But I got here, and I felt like I needed to spend a little bit more time. And I got here about 15 minutes earlier than I usually do today. And so I went in my office, and I was studying and thinking and praying and reading the Bible and studying some more about the message today, and just trying to get some extra time. Dedicate time to spend with him every day. And your schedule is probably very different than mine. Well, I know it is. And you may not be the type of person that can get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend a half an hour with the Lord. You may have to do it at night before you go to bed. You may have to do it in the afternoon before you go to work. You may have to take fewer credits so you have a free hour and you do it then. But dedicate time to spend with him every day. Or those distractions are going to get you. They're going to get you quickly. Number three. Develop your own, emphasis on the word own, walk with God. When I was a student at Howes Anderson College, I found it was very easy to rely on the men who stood behind this pulpit to provide my walk with God. I sat in classes, and Bible classes, and lectures, and sessions, and chapel sermons, and conferences, and I got to be around some of the greatest men of God I had ever known in my entire life, and it was very easy for me to rely on their walk with God. But when I realized I had to have my own, it was life-changing. For many of you, this is the first time you've been away from home. First time you've been away from your pastor. First time you've been away from your parents. And all of a sudden, you're realizing that dad's spirituality didn't come to Bible college with you. Develop your own walk with God. So we said, number one, don't let anything in your life take priority over him. How to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Number two, dedicate time to spend with him every day. Number three, develop your own walk with God. Number four, ignore the distractions. And they're going to be there. They're going to be there for the best of us, for the strongest of us, and for the worst of us and the weakest of us. They're going to be there. Whether it's money, whether it's friends, whether it's sports, whether it's love, whether it's ministry, whether it's popularity, whether it's your cell phone, whether it's your gaming console, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or YouTube or whatever it is, ignore the distractions. Ignore the distractions. We said, forget your past, focus on the future, and ignore the distractions. Number five, and this is the last one, take one step at a time with God by your side until you reach the finish line. One step at a time. So many of us were so eager to get there. We're so eager to get here. But God has a plan for your life. If God wanted you to go from there to here, he would have anointed you way back there and skipped all that middle part. But there's lessons you need to learn. There's experience you need to gain. But you can't do it by yourself. Take one step at a time with God by your side until you reach the finish line. As John, normal, everyday Bible college student Christian, goes through this life, with God by his side, it's much easier to hear the voice of God than if you leave him back here. One step at a time. I'm a freshman. I gotta sign up for classes. I gotta figure out how to get enough sleep so I can be awake in class. I'm gonna join a bus route. I'm a second semester freshman now. Boy, that girl's pretty. I wonder if I should date her. But I gotta go to work, so I'm gonna go to work. And I'm going home my freshman summer, and I'm gonna work and save some money, and I wonder if I should just take time off and relax. I've been on a bus route the whole year. Maybe I shouldn't be in the ministry this summer and just work extra and save money for college. And now it's time to come back for my sophomore year. And Lord, what do you think I should do? What bus route should I be on? What job should I work? One step at a time. with God by your side until you reach the finish line. You can't do it on your own. You're never going to get through the distractions that the devil's going to throw your way, the fiery darts of the wicked. You'll never get through all by yourself. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Give him a prominent place. Give him a set apart place. Give him priority in your life. Make him special in your life. Give him your life. Every single part of it. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Forgetting the past, focusing on the future, and ignoring the distractions. Would you stand with me, please? Father,